2025, the year you just watched us have a mental breakdown every episode. Buckle up, baby. You're in for a ride.
Buckle up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love to see puppies playing in the snow.
Aww. It's so cute. It's so true. It's so cute.
I'm Michaelanne. With me, as always, is Bethany, and we are both experiencing a snow day in the south, so that's cool.
Yes, that's wild. Literally. No, it's really wild. Part of me is a kid and was super excited because I've never had a snow day in my life. I have lived through a million hurricane days. Let me tell you, this one is way cooler, both literally and metaphorically. It's a much better experience than a hurricane day. 10 out of 10, would recommend. But also, it is slightly terrifying that all of the South was rocked this hard with snow. I mean, New Orleans, it's crazy how much of the panhandle in Florida, y'all, got crazy snow. Climate change is real. I would just like to reiterate. I know we discussed last week about the LA fires, but climate change is real. But yeah, although it's been magical, you know, I'm happy that it happened. If it's going to be this cold, at least give me something pretty to look at, right? But it's so crazy. Like, it's wild to me. I've never, I have seen snow in my life, to be clear, but I have never experienced, I have never lived somewhere where it has snowed. So this is the first time that it's ever happened to me where I've been, told I cannot go into work because it has snowed too much. So that is wild.
I love it.
It's a wild concept. But yes, my 14-year-old Yorkshire Terrier, who is a born and raised Florida puppy. She's only ever lived in the Southeast. She's lived in Florida and she's lived in Georgia. This is the first time she ever saw snow. And when I tell y'all, every single person basically texted me last night and was like, I'm going to need to see Luna in the snow. And I was like, I got you. I got you covered. I will be recording it. That's all anyone cared about. They're like, please send the Luna footage. Yeah, she had a little I seriously think the lyrics of the song What Is This Feeling was going through her head. She's like, what is this feeling so sudden and new? And she absolutely loathed it, just in case anyone's wondering. That was her experience with snow. She was like, loathing. Unadulterated loathing. That's how she feels about snow, just in case anyone's wondering. And she is wearing a sweater and a scarf today, and it is the cutest thing. But no, she is
a scarf.
She has a little scarf. The scarf actually she's had when she was a baby. I think she got it I want to say she was only when she was pretty new. My mom got it for her. And I've had it all this time. And obviously, again, she grew up in Florida. So she didn't have a lot of opportunity for her to wear a scarf. But it's just really cute. And I like to put her on her when it gets slightly cold. And today I was like, today's the day, Luna. You're going to wear your scarf. I wish I had booties for her. She may have liked the snow better if I had booties for her. But that's the one outfit, piece of clothing that I actually don't have for my dog. She has socks, but that would not have done anything. That would have made it worse, probably. So, and she doesn't, know how to walk very well in the socks. She doesn't kick them off. In the times we put them on her, she's not someone, she's not a dog that will immediately kick them off. But she also, anytime she has to walk, doesn't really know what she's doing.
She's like,
Basically, it's I don't know what to do with my lips. Also, I apologize for my snuffly glufflies. I'm going to try my best to mute my microphone if I have to cough. And hopefully, I don't sound too, I don't know, Emma Stone. Although, honestly, the dream is to sound like Emma Stone. But I hope I don't sound too congested. And I apologize. I'm the reason that we didn't have a Tuesday Destin and we have a Thursday Destin. First of all, Monday was a time, y'all. Okay. We had a lot going on. a lot was going on. Okay. One of the richest men in the world was doing a Nazi salute and now they're all gaslighting us and saying it wasn't a Nazi salute, but I digress. So that was going on. And also in the field of which I work in, which is with small, germy little children, they pass their little germs around and I have just had the darndest time this cold and flu season. It's been really bad. So I have the ick yet again. And which is also kind of thankful for having snow days this week. Cause I was I don't really want to work. I'm not feeling top tier.
Yeah. Yeah. Monday. Yeah. Monday was rough, y'all.
I hope you all are doing as good as you can. I am like, I haven't quite found the right description for how I've been feeling since Monday.
Yeah.
But it's not good.
Yeah, I feel that. It's certainly not great. I'm not feeling great about this situation. I know that, like, we all knew it was happening. Like, we knew this is how it happens. Right. He was going to be inaugurated. Like, it would start. But, yeah, I feel like I was still a little bit in denial until I saw it, like, actually happen. And then I was like, oh, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then I do like this one lady on TikTok has already started an account where she is going to be listing the price of eggs every day for the next like 1,350 days of his presidency. And I pray to God that it's only 1,350 days and he doesn't try to extend that somehow. But she is my level of petty and I will be watching it every day and checking in on the egg prices.
I love that. I don't have anything else to say to anybody about it. I'm going to be like, I don't give a shit about groceries. I don't give a shit about literally anything you're saying because they are like openly Nazis at this point. So not really sure like how we're justifying it with like literally anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, anyway, screaming.
Just screaming into the woods.
Screaming in the woods. We will be doing that.
We booked a place.
Yes, we booked a place. Me, Bethany, and six other girls, well, women, mm-hmm. we're women, are going to a cabin in Georgia. Well, a cabin in Georgia. And we will be screaming for the entire weekend and doing crafts and loving each other, even though we don't know each other. There's some girls we don't know.
We don't know. We've never met in our lives, but we're going to bond that weekend and form a sisterhood.
Yes. A sisterhood.
It'll be beautiful.
Yeah. So, I mean, do what you guys can do to make it through the days. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have any advice.
Yeah. We have a plan for Michaelan to buy a Volvo. That's what's keeping us going right now.
Yes. I told Andrew about that. And he was like, what do you mean? Bethany found out that he was like, this doesn't make sense. Bethany found out that if you buy a Volvo in America, they will send you to Sweden for a week.
Round trip. You can do anything from like, you can go there to literally just pick up your car, which is crazy to me. Like, go and enjoy Sweden. Anywhere between, like, they fly you round trip. So you have the chance to extend up to 2 weeks because essentially with this program, when you get your car, because it is your car, you have purchased it, obviously, you get what is called, like, it's like tourist insurance. And so you are insured to drive that car in Europe for, like, 2 weeks of or whatever. So you could go for, like, a week. But you have up to 2 weeks with your car it being insured and, like, your copacetic to, like, drive it around Europe or whatever. Which is wild.
That is wild.
They fly you round trip. You get put up in like a swanky ass hotel the night before you go like pick up your Volvo. You get to tour the Volvo headquarters, which like is the least exciting part. No offense, Volvo. Yeah. I'm sure you're a lovely car company, but it doesn't really excite me that much. I'm sure it's a great tour though, you know. And then you get to go pick up your Volvo after that. And then, like I said, you have it for up to 2 weeks where you can drive wherever you want. There's no limitations on it because it is a fully insured car that is in your name. And then you can have a little European vacation with your little car doing whatever you want to do. And then you just have to drop it off. I think there's like one of like 12 locations. You can drop it off back in Sweden and they ship it to the US like to you for free, which is wild to me. And they're not apparently the only like European car manufacturer that does something like this. It is the best one. And we obviously have love for Sweden, which is like why I was like, oh my God, Michaelan, you should like get a Volvo and you can go to Sweden for free. Like Volkswagen does something like this, Porsche does something like this. Like I've looked into it, y'all. This is how I entertain myself in these dark times. And they all do something like this. But Volvo is the best because they fly you there. No one else really seems to fly you there. Like you kind of have to pay that on your own. But everyone else does the like ships it back to you for free, gives you the 2 weeks of the car insurance. Most of them do where they like put you up in a hotel the night before, complimentary. So you at least get one night for free staying somewhere. Volkswagen does pay for your meal on delivery day. Fun fact. So you get a free meal as well while you're in Europe. Not as great as free airfare, but I'll take it. So I've looked into all the different European car menus because I was like, this is like a part of life. Like at least where we live in America, where they're not walkable cities, is like you have to own a car. So I was like, if you're going to have a car payment, at least get a cool trip to Europe out of it. Like, am I right?
100%. I'm like, I guess my next car is a Volvo because
it's been decided.
Fuck a Honda. I love my Hondas.
That's honestly, truly, do you love Hondas?
I am a big Honda girly.
If I can find a way where Honda will let me go to Japan, a round trip on them, I'm on it. I should look up. I didn't look up into any Japanese car manufacturers yet. Maybe they do something like that too.
That would be cool. My brother's in Japan right now. My friend is in Japan right now. I'm so jealous of both of them.
I wish I was in Japan right now.
Same. I wish I was anywhere else.
But here in this country. But alas, here I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have good books to get us through. That was my attempt at a segue. It probably wasn't that great. But we did read two chapters of Saying Anything. And honestly, it also just kind of made me angry, much like a lot of things in Donald Trump America does. Gosh. We're literally being run by Nazis. This is bad.
Yeah. Speaking of, we're on YouTube, and we're definitely not going to be promoted or monetized or literally anything on here because we've said the word Nazi like seven times. We're like 11 minutes into this recording. So just so you guys know, seek us out. We are on YouTube. You can find us.
Dr. Pepper sponsors. We're pretty bad at the like staying monetized thing. Like most people are like very good about like talking around certain subjects. And I'm like, I'm just going to say it. We're definitely not going to be monetized.
We are also not monetized in general, just so everyone knows. Like we don't make any money from this 2-year-long project we've been doing.
Which the other day I felt like, y'all, like I truly get guilt like so easy in life. And when I was like, I'm just like not really feeling really good. I don't want to record. And I like felt really guilty sending that text. And then I thought about it and I was like, this isn't our job. we have not get a single cent from this. So I don't know why I'm feeling guilty. Like we both work full-time jobs and balance lives or whatever. And this is something we enjoy. We love, we would wish this could be our full-time job, but it is not, alas, sadly. So, I don't know. Maybe we can figure out how to be cool on TikTok or something one day. The children will flock to us. I don't know. The way I worded that sounded bad. That's not how I meant it. people will flock to us. I just meant like hip people are on TikTok. I'm on TikTok. I'm not hip. I'm honestly annoyed, y'all. Like I was that person who was like really holding out on TikTok and then it sucked me in so bad. That I was so sad when it was not around for like a whole 12 hours. Also the groveling to
I can't go on a whole thing.
It's been so, we really need to discuss these chapters.
We need to get into the book. Listen, everything sucks and we're both struggling. Now we're going to talk about chapter 17 of Sarah Destin's Saint Anything.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Carry on.
Okay. So where we left off is Mac and our main character, Sydney, whose name I totally didn't forget, had their first kiss. But if you recall, that's a big problem because Layla is like not into that and hates his ex-girlfriend.
She's very, as we used to say in the early aughts, she's very like hoes over bros, you know.
She's very hoes over bros.
Yeah, exactly.
She's very close over bros.
Yeah, she's very close over bros. Andrea, oh god, that also could send me on right. Gavin DeGraw, how dare you? Anyways, chapter 17. When we said everything sucks right now, we really meant it. 2025, the year you just watch us have a mental breakdown every episode. Buckle up, baby, you're in for a ride.
Buckle up. We are thriving.
We'll see how it goes, y'all. Okay.
Chapter 17. So Mac and Sydney are sitting in his truck, snuggling, doing their little hideaway thing because they're together, but they can't be down. And she's explaining to him, like, you can use the studio, but it's going to be like a situation now. She mentions that she feels bad keeping this from Layla, but I feel bad keeping this from Layla, but I'm worried basically about the Kimmy Crandall situation. And I just know, well, obviously I know now, but when I read this, I was like, oh, this is going to be really bad.
Yeah, this is going to backfire on you real bad. It was exactly
really
right.
Bad. Really bad. But so they're just like, they're hiding it a little bit. She's saying that they, you know, they like pull over when they don't have deliveries waiting and they just like cuddle in the car. So cute. So teenage. Love it. And she said, these hours between school and dinner I'd once dreaded were now the ones I most looked forward to.
Aww. Aww. Young love, guys.
It's young love precious. Is just like so precious.
It really is.
She's like, he's a very good kisser. He has the tightest set of abs I'd ever seen or touched. Mm. Hilarious. I never dated anybody who was like an athlete or athletic or anything like that, literally ever. So,
I mean, Mike used to be on the bowling team. Does that count? I was kidding. He also ran track. Okay.
Okay. So that makes sense, actually.
He has a Letterman jacket, of which I would, but it's not like the Letterman jacket that we all think of that's like in any teen movie. Sadly, because I was like, oh my god, you have a Letterman jacket, and I wanted to like go get it, and I was like, oh, this is not what I was expecting. It's like a pullover. I don't know. His school is weird. They also didn't have lights in their football stadium, y'all. I don't know. They do it weird in Long Island. But yeah, I know. So I had to play on Saturday mornings. You couldn't play on Friday nights because there were no lights. Crazy.
What?
And it really explains a lot to me about Long Island. I'm like, wow, okay, I understand it now.
There's a lot going on there in Long Island. So yeah. So then she describes his hair, which is like long enough in the front to always need to be brushed aside, something that he did with a slight jerk of his head. And I was like, this is so early aughts.
Yeah.
This is 2013, like, okay, Bieber. Right? Yeah, yeah, I was like, this is Bieber here. Yeah, 2000. Like,
Bieber age.
Speaking of Bieber, I think he's going through a divorce or something. Crazy.
Okay, yes. I saw something about this. Well, I didn't see. Oh, sorry. I didn't see the full thing. I didn't look into it, but I saw something was like online earlier about it. And I was like, oh, intriguing.
Yeah. Maybe we'll look into it. Maybe we won't. I don't know, man. I can't don't know. But yeah, they talk about like how his dad wants him to take over Seaside and he doesn't want to. The whole like, that's your dream, dad, not mine situation. He's like, I'm going to do it, whatever. Like, I'm still going to apply for college. And she says, I thought of our talk weeks earlier about broken things and how he didn't accept there wasn't a fix for everything somehow. It wasn't just about clocks and starters. Like, so much with Mac. What he felt strongly about was wide and vast. I felt so lucky to be included in it.
Adorable.
It's very sweet. So sweet. Uh-huh. Then she's kind of talking about how, for as long as she can remember, other people have overshadowed her or left her alone. But Mac is always there. He's always nearby. He's like a comforting presence, which is exactly what Layla had said years ago. She says that it was like he was my saint, the one I'd been waiting for. Adorable for bringing Catholic imagery into your love. Amazing.
Amazing. Oh, we love that for you, sweetie.
Yeah, we love that for you.
It is sweet. I'm like, oh no.
Oh, and then she's like, but and we talked about Ames, and he was like encouraging her to be like, you need to tell your parents that something here is off. And yes. She's like,
thank you,
they're not going to listen to me. They don't care. I have no proof. And she's unfortunately probably right, because right. In the next chapter, we see some fucked up shit from mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And dad. To be clear. Yeah. Mostly mom, but dad is also not innocent. He also is doing some fucked up shit.
I mean, as a bystander, as a silent bystander, like,
you're just as guilty.
Yeah, yeah, you're just as guilty.
Yeah, so, I like when he says they should be able to tell if you seem weird. And it's like, yes, thank you. They should. They don't, because they're far too preoccupied. Well, dad's kind of staying out of things, which, again, makes you just as guilty. And mom is far too preoccupied. But it's like, if everyone else in the room can see it, if, like, instantly Layla knew, if instantly Mac knew, like, there's a vibe. Like, you completely change when he's around. Like, something is off with you. How have her parents, when she literally is, like, begging them, please, I don't want to stay with this man, not been like, why do you feel so uncomfortable staying with him? Like, how would, can you not know your kid? Like, it just,
They are, like, really genuinely, truly not thinking about her, not seeing her. Like, everything is about Peyton. And these two chapters, like, really show that, too. Because, yeah. Like, there's, we'll get to it, but. Jesus.
That's sweet, Jesus.
But yeah, they should definitely be able to tell. It's weird that they don't. I always think about these two men who worked at my high school, who one of them is fine, I guess. But the other one is very much creepy and inappropriate. And when I remember at my graduation, they were talking to us and my brothers were like, what's up with those creepy guys? Literally within minutes of being around them.
They're like, we can tell that these guys are creepy.
And I was like, no, they're my friends. And they were like, no, they're not. No, they're not. And I was like, whatever. And now I'm like, oh my God.
They were on to something.
They knew. So she should know. The mom should, especially a woman.
Yes. Like, hello? Ugh.
Yeah. So anyway. So then mom is talking about, like, the whole situation with the graduation and going to visit him and getting with the family members that are in prison. And we find out.
Yes.
We find out that Rogerson is in jail, baby. Yes.
Where he belongs. Yes. Yes. Again, how you know this is fiction, that he actually did serve time for what he did.
Well, it's interesting because, like, he gets arrested at the end of Dreamland.
Yep.
But he is in Lock and Key, living in an apartment.
Yeah. So he's not in jail then. So he
must be a repeat offender.
Repeat offender. Yeah. So he may, I'm not sure if he served time for what happened in Dreamland. If he did, well, I feel like in Lock and Key, they do say something about, like, oh, he blah, blah, blah. And so he's like been juvie or
something.
Yeah. So yeah. So he's got to be a repeat offender. So I'm like, did we do the same thing? Is this for something else? But glad to see that he clearly hasn't strained up his act. That's not shocking, but still disappointing.
I remember during our interview, Sarah was saying that girls were coming up to her with Dreamland and being like, but Rogerson's good at the end, right? And Sarah was like, no. Like, oh my gosh, no. And so I like that she kind of threw this in a later book to be like, he's in jail.
Yeah, he's not a good person.
Yeah.
There is no redemption for him, okay? Like, no. That's fine, you know?
No. Ugh. But if you wanted to be president. Anyway.
He probably could be. It's fine.
I also thought the parallels between Rogerson and Peyton were interesting here, because they're talking about getting together with his parents, and both Rogerson and Peyton are wealthy white boys who like totally just like, because I think Rogerson was also drinking a lot. I don't remember. But
there was like drugs and drinking involved.
Yeah, there was drugs and drinking involved. Yeah. So like
there was pot, which again, we were like that it's pot and that it's like a really bad thing. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm sure it's in the 90s. But yeah, they definitely were doing drugs. And I mean, I'm sure probably like more hardcore things than that. But yeah, he was doing things. But yeah, it's definitely two rich white kids who like are given every advantage and are given second chances. Again, you serve kind of lighter terms because judges are more likely to see you as an actual human being, which is terrible. And then end up becoming repeat offenders because they never learn their lesson because they're just given a million different chances because they're rich and white and, you know, cis men.
No, I'm sorry. Everybody is the gender they were assigned at conception. So actually, yeah, everyone's, you know, a woman. So
everyone's a woman. was right when she said that God was a woman.
We're all women. Oh my God. Okay. I'm not going to keep bringing it up. Maybe. But yeah, when her mom is talking about like meeting up with Rogerson's parents and like doing this whole thing, her dad finally says something and says, "We're going to an event at a prison, not a preschool." Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. But that's all he does. Like that's all of the effort he puts into that. But she basically is like, "I don't care. I'm putting a positive spin on a bad situation. When life gets dark, you celebrate any light. This is my light. Let me enjoy it." You know what else could be her light? Her child.
Your other child?
In the room, yeah, with them.
There's still light to be had. If she was like, "I want to watch this trashy TV show," or "I want to go get a pedicure," or "I want to go do something nice with our daughter," then you can do the "this is my light, let me have it, let me enjoy my small victories" spiel, lady. Not "let me throw this entire banquet like my son in prison," which again, I feel like sometimes when we go off on this mom, it makes it sound like we are anti, you know, inmates and people being rehabilitated. Oh, yeah, no. I'm very in, obviously, to people being rehabilitated. And just because you have served time does not mean that I think that you are like a lesser person or not worthy of being in society. To make that clear, I feel like we've hopefully made that abundantly clear, but sometimes I'm like, just to be clear. But anyways, yes, with that said, but the way that this mom like cannot, like the way that she like victim blames the victim and the way that she like just cannot see that her son did something wrong and the fact that she's putting all her time and energy into him, always him, before he ever went to prison, now that he is in prison, and it drives me insane. Like, I'm all about self-care and finding little bright moments in dark times, lady, but like, this ain't the way to go about it.
This ain't the way. She says, "It was a testimony to how black things had gotten, that this event signified brightness. I was always aware of how things had changed. Times like this, though, it surprised me all over again." And also, it's like, what does that feel like for her to be like, "I'm still here. Like, yeah, I'm still doing things. I'm still living a life." Like, what?
And like, doing pretty well, might I?
Yes. Ask.
Like, she has been a great daughter. You know,
yeah,
and like never gets any credit for that.
We're obviously mad about chapter 18 and we're taking it out on chapter 17, but
but that's neither here nor there.
That is neither here nor there. So then we're talking, so then she flashes to another scene where she talked to Mrs. Chatham about it because she can't really talk to anybody else, like she can't talk to her parents. She opens up and says, like, "My parents are going to this graduation at the prison and my mom's obsessed. You'd think he was getting a diploma from Harvard the way she's acting." Mrs. Chatham says, "I felt the same way when Rosie finished her rehab. You take what you can get, I guess." And that's different. So different. That's like,
that's so different.
That's so different. Like, she went to rehab for doing drugs not a couple times. I'm sure she had a drug problem. That's what's implied. But he paralyzed someone, so
yeah,
he's in jail. And Mrs. Chatham brings up how they ran into, I forget his name.
David, I believe.
David, yes, David Ibarra. She ran into David Ibarra. They bring that up, and She's like, it's the first time I've seen him face to face. I freaked. I couldn't speak. And Mrs. Chatham is like, oh, honey, it's not like it's going to come easy if it ever comes at all. You know that, right? And she's, you know, expresses her desire to apologize, but she's like, an apology is not going to mean anything. Like, it's not going to do anything. And Mrs. Chatham very wisely says, you shouldn't expect it to change anything for him, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't help you in some way, like to lift the weight of this off your chest. And she's like, I don't know. And Mrs. Chatham's like very patient with her. And I love Mrs. Chatham.
Same. I love her so much. And I'm like very worried about her.
Yes. If she doesn't make it through this book,
I'm not going to be able
to handle it. I'll riot.
Yeah.
I agree. Sarah.
Sarah. I know you already wrote it, Sarah. There's nothing you can do about it. But we're going to have a rough time if this is where this is heading.
Fingers crossed. So then that afternoon she comes home. The house is empty. She's the only one there. And Peyton calls. And they actually have like a good conversation. Like they talk about the sinkhole. And she's like, it's bigger. I thought it was bigger. And he's like, yeah, it's bigger when you're walking halfway across it. And then they start talking about how he has been watching Big New York, which I love this. Yeah. I love this. This was like everything. He's like, she's like, I thought you hated those shows. And he's like, I did, but I have a friend here who got me into them. And, you know, I just love it. He's an inmate, got busted for selling prescriptions, but he was a doctor. And she's like, he says, like, even if he has bad taste in TV shows. And she's like, hey, now remember who you're talking to. And he said, like, I could forget. He said, and then the recorded voice came on, warning us time is about up. For the first time, I wished it weren't.
Oh, so I love nice. That they're like kind of rekindling this relationship, yeah. Like, you know, their brother sister relationship that they have. And yeah. Every time that like we get to talk to Peyton, because again, we don't like, because we only see things through Sydney's perspective, obviously. And the more we get to know Peyton through there are phone calls. I like really, because again, like I still am like mad at him, which I think is also how Sydney feels. But the more I realize that he's not like, because you kind of only see him from like mom's perspective at the beginning of this book, right? And that I just felt like, oh my God, he's such like a rich, spoiled kid who like doesn't see the error of his ways or whatever. And the more we kind of get to like have these little sidebars with him, you realize like he's not that person. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, so that's just mom. So yeah. I'm liking him more and more as we go along through this.
Yeah. I mean, it's such like you can't label anybody as all good or all bad. Well, I think you can, actually. But in most situations, you can't. Yes. So she is like, and after all the pushing to talk, like, I wanted to keep it to myself that I had this conversation with Peyton so she doesn't tell her mom. Which I think is a good idea. And he doesn't tell her either. And I think that's good. I like that this is kind of their own little thing.
Yeah.
But she says mom was so immersed in her plans, she really wasn't noticing anything. She hadn't said anything about Ames staying with her, but she knew it was coming. And it does. She says, tomorrow, your father and I are leaving around 3. Ames will be here by 10 at the latest. It's not ideal, but with Marla out of the picture and his valet job, it's the best we can do. And
the best you could do is have him not come, in my humble opinion. But, you know.
I can't. And, like, the amount of times Ames and then mom is like, Ames thought he was just coming over to watch a movie with you. Why the fuck?
Right.
Is this guy watching a movie with your teenage daughter?
Yeah. First of all, seriously, why do you trust? And like, of all things, like she is like, I want to go to my friend's house. We don't know these people. Now you do. And there's like grown adults in that house. Like she's with parents and she is with a girlfriend, you know, like that's like the savior. Like, why would you trust this like young, whatever, 20 something, like young man like to stay with your teenage daughter alone. And again, the only reason you know him is because he has been rehabilitated, which again, we believe in. But like, he clearly has a history himself. So like, I don't understand this. Like, you trust him more than like two proven, like a business owner in your community. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's crazy to me.
I wouldn't be surprised if mom has like some sort of like, we have money and they don't. So
right. Kind of like that.
They're gross. They're trash kind of thing. Like, and that is kind of what it gives. Just like, they own a pizza place.
We don't run in the same circles. We live in the harbors. We live in
we run in the same circles as Rogerson's parents. So
yikes.
Yikes. Big time. So she does it again. She's like, please don't do this. But really, she's like, I think I can stay alone. Like, by the time he gets here, I'll be in bed. And mom's like, it's all set. Now get your cereal together. You're going to be late. And that was the end of the conversation. She has like, no, that's it. Like, her mom doesn't want to hear anything she has to say. And she says she slammed the door when she left, which she's starting to like express her rage. And I think she should.
Agreed.
But now they're back in the truck, back in real time with them snuggling. And a delivery comes in, but she's like, five more minutes. And he says two. And then he kisses the top of her head. So cute. And then he's like, you know, we don't have to record at your place if it's a problem. Like, Eric always finds another way. And she's like, it's not a problem. It's going to be perfect. And she's like, this is not a word I used much, if ever, but sometimes lately I'd allowed myself to think that things actually could work out. After all, I was here now with him, and who could ever expected that?
Aww. And that just makes me sad that like she's finally like feeling things are going to be okay. And again, knowing what we know, I'm like, oh, girlfriend.
I know. So he drops her off in the parking lot, and she, like, without even thinking about it, she, like, after she gets out of the car, she walks back around to the driver's side and gives him a kiss in the parking lot. And she's, like, not even thinking about it. She's like, it just felt normal. Like, I wasn't thinking about who could possibly be watching. Keep that in mind. So then we are fast forwarding to the night in question. Eric says, nice digs. When he sees her house, which is funny. Everybody's lugging in a bunch of heavy equipment except for Eric, because he has agitated discs, which is just like, this guy's hilarious. Like, Sarah knows how to write a character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she really, really is good at that. Like, all of her side, I mean, this is like a dead horse at this point, but all of her side characters are just like so, like, well fleshed out and just like lovely. I mean, even Eric, you're like, this guy's an idiot, but I love him.
And I love him. I love Eric so much.
I'm rooting for him.
Same, which is truly shocking, but yes, same.
So they're like, oh wow, this like studio is for your brother. And she was like, well, it was supposed to be. He got preoccupied before you could use it. And Irv is like, oh, is that what we're calling prison now? And Matt gets mad at him, but Sydney's like, no, it's fine. Like, it's actually like nice to hear somebody saying it that way, because so like her parents and everyone are like downplaying it so much, like acting like it's, I don't even know.
Preschool.
Preschool, exactly. So Eric's like, how long do we actually have? And she's like, it'll be 3 hours. And 3 hours is 9:30, and what's-his-face shows up at 10, so they have 3 hours. Layla's on her way. So Eric is talking about how he went to a music camp, vintage acoustic musical performance camp, and I love this for him.
Yes.
He's like, life-changing. I mean, it was for me anyway. Spending 8 weeks with people who actually care about the music the way I do, like an oasis in the ongoing creative desert that is my life here. Amazing.
Which is so pretentious on one hand, but on the other hand, like, I do feel for him. Like, clearly he takes this very seriously and is very into it, and everyone else is kind of just like, yeah, whatever, like, we just like to play. And it honestly must be really refreshing to go and like hang out with a bunch of other pretentious kids. Like, I don't know, like, he's a really passionate dude, and like, it's really easy to make fun of him, but on the other hand, I'm like, I get it, like, it must be nice to like be amongst your own, you know. More music camp for Eric, he deserves it.
Yes, more music camp, music school maybe.
yes he definitely
shoot for the moon, my guy.
100%.
So everyone's like, Max, like, we can hear you, just so you know. And he's like, Eric's like, whatever. Don't get me wrong, these guys like to play, but they're not passionate. Once high school is over, they'll tell stories about how they were once in a band, and I want to be more than that. So yeah, he's like,
I really feel it.
So as they're setting up, Eric's like, there's something I've been waiting to ask you. And she's like, what? And he is like, I think you're cool, I want to take you out, what do you think? And she honestly has no idea what to say. And honestly, I was like, what? When I saw I was like, where the hell did this come from? Is this going to come back? Like,
dude, you're obsessed with Layla, clearly. And also she's with Max. So no, it's not going to work out for you.
He probably is like trying to make Layla jealous because Layla has this fucking boyfriend now. Yeah. He's like, what the fuck? She was like, I didn't know what to say, but it didn't matter because the doorbell rang. So she went upstairs, and when she opens the door, Layla is there, and she's with Spence, who is shit-faced, slurring. She can barely stand up on his own. Layla gets him down to the basement, and he's carrying vodka on him, that they're just drinking straight, which I am like, I am like so gonna nasty. Die. Vodka's the worst one.
Yeah, I can't. No one drinks vodka straight unless it's like, I don't know, in the middle of a Russian winter maybe, and it's your like, only option.
And if you do drink vodka straight, like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Who like are that's, you?
That's a really bold move, my dude. Very bold move.
Ugh. Disgusting.
That's nasty.
So anyway, so actually at this point, Peyton calls. Sydney picks up and he's like, she's like, sorry, I have some friends over. How's everything? And he kind of brings up how he's like picked a team on the in this show, The Big New York. And they like talk about it. He's on a different team than she is. And he's like, she's like, she's insane. He's like, oh, and Ari isn't. Did you not see that dinner party where she pushed Delilah in the pool? And Sydney's like, she was provoked. And then he has to talk to mom, and she's like, mom's already on his way to you, on her way to you. And she's like, what? He's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, they're staying at a hotel, meeting some of the other families. And the tone changes. Peyton is like clearly pissed. And he's like, I can't believe this. I told her I didn't want her to do all that. I didn't want them here at all, actually. I'm in prison, not school. I don't get why she can't understand that. Wow, I thought. I'd been waiting so long for someone else to feel this way. I just never expected it to be Peyton. As I wondered how to reply, I heard a thump from me in the studio. And she doesn't really know what to say. She's just like, I guess she's just hanging on to anything she can to feel normal. And he's like, but this isn't normal. I screwed up. I hurt someone and I'm doing time for it. When she tries to make it anything else, it just makes me nuts. This needs to be different, you know, to be hard. Everyone else understands that, but she doesn't get it. Right. Like,
thank you.
Right. And I like that we got this insight from him because, as you said, like, she's only been seeing him from mom's perspective. So she has no idea, actually, that he's like, can you back off?
Right.
Although we get like little hints in here and there when he like stopped calling them and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's so selfish. but he's like,
seriously, what is this mom like getting from any of this? Because you're making both of your kids miserable. Like, neither one of them are getting anything from this. No one in this family is happy. Why? Like, if Peyton keeps telling you to stop and he's like, hi, like, I messed up, I did something wrong, I'm in prison, I'm trying to, like, you know, deal with that, like, you know, really sit with myself and why, how I screwed up and whatever, and mom keeps doing this, she's hurting him, she's hurting her daughter because she's giving her no time and energy. So I'm like, she's just selfish. Like, Like, this is her coping mechanism, and she's literally doing nothing but hurting everyone in her family. Like, it just astounds me. It astounds me.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to call her cell phone. And she's like, bye. And she says she could tell us and everyone else it was for Peyton. And maybe she really believed that. I wasn't so sure. I hadn't thought I could feel more ashamed about the entire situation. Wrong again. It's like, yes, this is 100% only about mom. This is not about anybody else.
Yep. Yeah. Which again, like, obviously everyone in this family is grappling with a level of guilt in this situation. And I understand that she, whether she wants to admit it to herself or not, I think feels guilty about it.
Yeah.
But like, what a warped way to like deal with that. And just, yeah, again, just like to make matters worse for basically everyone. It is. It's just, it's like plain selfish.
Mm-hmm. Especially when he's telling her like, please stop doing this. Please stop doing this. Like, it's crazy. She's like, well, I think it's what's best. And it's like, oh my God.
It's really, only what she, well, you know, I read and I think and I whatever. And it's like, no, like, listen to people for once in your GD life, lady. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
But yeah. Chapter 18. Oh, what a time. It's about to.
We're about to scream.
I watched 10 Things I Hate About You today because people should always watch 10 Things I Hate About You because it's a classic. And the amount that I quote this movie on the reg truly cannot be, you know, like overstated. But when I read this chapter, all I can think of is the shitteth has hitteth the fan if. Which is honestly a quote that works in so many contexts all the time. It should be quoted all the time. So thank you, 10 Things I Hate About You, for that. But yes, this is where the shit is about to hit the fan if. Okay, so we start off here where Eric is, again, being a little pretentious music nerd, and we love that for him. And, like, he's the guy in the beginning of the song 22 where you're like, we get it, you know, listening to music that's much better than mine. And we've all known that guy. We've all dated that guy who just, like, really thinks that his, like, movie taste and music taste is, like, so much smarter than yours. And you're like, okay, then you're so cute. You're not. But again, Eric is, like, lovable and hopefully not that much of a dick about things like that. But anywho, they're on a time crunch, as stated. They have 3 hours because she is worried, like, Ames is going to be here. They need to clear out. Like, they have to be packed up and gone before he gets here at 10 o'clock. So she, you know, told them 9:30. And Eric's over here, and they have not gotten a single track, like, done because he is being a perfectionist. And Irv is like, yo, buddy, we, like, this is a demo. This isn't, like, your first studio album. We need you to just, like, cut a track. Like, we have 2 songs to do, and we are still working on the first one. So they're trying to move him along. It's already been 1.5 hours. And meanwhile, Spence is just drunk as a skunk, like, laying on the couch and being very, like, kind of clingy. Layla, come here. I miss you. And so this is where they get a call from mom, from Mrs. Chatham, who protect at all costs, please, Sarah. And so she's like, you know, she's like, oh, like, you know, Mac, Mir. And so, of course, like, Mac's very concerned, and she's like, oh, you know, it might be something like a side effect with medication. Rosie's not going to take her to the hospital. She says, you know, it's the usual. She's dizzy, shortness of breath. She got super lightheaded. But she says, you know, mom says that she's fine now. She's just going to keep an eye on her. So now they also have, like, a reason to want to hurry. Max basically, like, yeah, dude, like, cut the crap. We need to just get these songs. Like, I would like to get home and, like, see my mom. Like, we're worried about her. Which, respect. So Spence is kind of just all like, just relax, man. Like, it's fine. I'm just here. I'm drunk on straight vodka. And so he convinces Layla to, like, have a little sip, and she does. And so she's like, you know, I swear, I don't see how this night could get any worse. to which Sydney says it could, because right at that moment Ames appeared in the open doorway. Ugh, which I just, like, knew in my heart of hearts he was not gonna get there at 10 o'clock, you know. So there he is, and he's like, wow, look, it's a party. And it's kind of like a douche because she has friends over. You like, they're recording. Sure, one of them is drunk as a skunk on the couch, but the rest of them are, like, recording. Like, they're not doing anything, they're not making a mess of the house. Like, they are recording music. Like, it's fine. They're not delinquents. So, anyways, of course, Spence, you know, is like, oh, someone else who wants to make it a party. He's like, comrade, would you like a drink? Which I like that he calls him a comrade. And so Sydney's trying to be like, okay, we're going to nip this in the bud. And she's like, no, he does not want a drink. You're good. So, of course, Ames is all, your mom didn't say anything about this. And Sydney's like, you know, she's been distracted. They're almost done. Like, we're good to go. Which Irv is like, actually, this is taking a long time. I'm not sure if we're almost done. But anywho, so things have gotten bad because here is Spence drunk as a skunk on the couch. And Ames is now here and he is making things really awkward. And he asks if they can talk outside. Layla, of course, like immediately has a beat on them because she's creeped out by Ames, rightfully so. And Ames wants to get to the bottom of it. And he's like, you know, do you want to tell me what's going on here? And it's like, you have no right to lecture me, but okay. And she's like, I did. They're recording a demo. Like, that's all that's going on here. And he's like, drinking. And she's like, one of them is drinking. I don't even really know him, which is the honest to goodness truth. And he's like, and yet he's here in the house while Peyton and Julie are gone. And he's like, I have to say, Sydney, I'm surprised. This is not like you. And she's like, listen, they're my friends. They needed some studio space. We had a whole freaking studio space. Why not? And this is where we find out that Ames might be on to her and Mac a little bit. And he's like, and the guy playing the drums, who's he? And she's like, why? And he's like, just curious. I saw you with him the other day in the parking lot of that strip mall off Mason. You seemed pretty close. Very close, actually. Which is so creepy. So creepy. And of course, he's coming over here basically in a jealous rage. And I can't stress enough, she's underage. She is a teenage girl and you are a creep. Ew. So she is obviously a little thrown off by this. And she's like, are you going to tell my mom about this? And he's like, we'll see. And this is the part which is so true and also so infuriating. She says, but I knew Ames. Now he finally had the upper hand and he wasn't going to relinquish it any earlier than necessary, which we know what happens at the end of the chapter. But if that didn't happen, yeah, he would have held this over her head. He would have dangled it like a carrot. He would have blackmailed her with this and probably tried to make her do something she wasn't comfortable with like, I won't tell your mom about blah, 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 blah. And, like, truly, what an absolutely disgusting piece of shit you are, my dude. Just want to go on record saying that. Gross. So, anyways, just then, they're trying to call Sydney back in because they want to ask her to do backup vocals because they don't have time to, like, mix in backup vocals. And this is where, again, Eric, being the little nerd that he is, talks about, like, you know, we need to fill out the sound, and he's talking about the song, and of course, and he's like, yeah, I, like, definitely remember it. And of course, Ames is, like, impressed by this, like, pretentious moment. I've never thought of the song like that. And everyone else is like, okay. and I was like, he would be the one who's, like, impressed by this. So anyways, so he's like, yeah, like, I want you to, you know, sing these lines. So, yeah, so he's, like, explaining what line she's going to sing and, like, the reason behind it. And he's like, don't worry. Like, you'll be, you know, it's fine. So then, again, Ames being Creeper McCreeperston, he goes, like, basically puts her, like, his hands on her shoulders. And he gives it a light squeeze. And he's like, oh, so you're singing? I can't wait to see this. Nervous? Ew, disgusting. And 2 minutes ago, you were all like, I didn't know about this. Woo, these people, whatever. And now you're like, oh, baby girl, you're going to go sing a song? Ew, impress me. And I'm like, let me throw up in my mouth. So she's like trying to kind of shift out of it. And she's like, no, like, I'm fine, even though she is nervous. But she, like, doesn't want to let him know, obviously. And he's like, you'll be great. Just relax. All the while, he's just, like, touching her. And it's so disturbing. And so she says, you know, Mac kind of, he was behind the drum kit, but he looks up and he sees this and she's like seeing his face. I had a flash of Layla's all those weeks ago at the courthouse, but while her expression as a stranger had been a question, you okay? Max was different. Like, he knew I was not. And because of that, he wasn't either. He was just getting to his feet when Eric spoke, which I love that instantly. Mac was like, oh, fuck no. Like, he saw this. I was like, hey, I'm going to go break that up. Thank you. You're clearly making her uncomfortable. But it kind of ends up getting broken up because Eric's like, hey, like, are you ready? And she goes in there to go record. Pretty simple. And then, Layla asked when she goes in there, because of course she knows that he's a creeper. She's like, what's he doing here? And she's like, he was supposed to come later, but my parents have him here because they're out of town and whatever. And so she's like, what are the chances that he tells your mom? And she's like, oh, he says that we'll talk about it. And this is where Layla's like, if it wasn't for us having to go check on my mom, I would stay. And she's like, no, like, of course, like, it's fine. Like, I'll be okay. Which she says for like Layla's benefit. And also because Mac is sitting right there and he like looks very nervous about the situation, rightfully so, because again, everyone else in the room can see it, but her parents. So she's kind of trying to reassure both of them, like, it's fine, even though she doesn't feel comfortable with the situation whatsoever. So she says that, they go in there, they sing. She's like, the haunting sweetness of Layla's voice moving over the words I knew so well, and then my own blending with it, if only for a moment. Through it all, Mac was behind me, keeping the beat, holding it all together. Later, I look back at this as the last time things felt perfect and be so grateful for it. Some people never get that at all. Well, that's a gut punch. The second, again, earlier in chapter 17, the talk of perfect, you're like, shit's about to hit the fan. And then this, you're like, oh, shit's really about to hit the fan. And then also the fact that she's like, well, I should be grateful for at least that moment because some people never get anything. And it's like, that is so sad. That's so, like, to be like, well, I should be grateful for that. Like, at least I had it for a brief moment. And I'm like, ugh, depressing. So anyways, they finally get the recording. Happy days. They're wrapping up. They're ready to go. And Herb's hungry. Layla, it's like the normal bands, like the group, they're normal. Eric being pretentious, Herb being hungry, Layla kind of making fun of them. Max there, being a little sweetie. And so they're kind of all packing up and, they're trying to get Spence up. And she's like, oh, thankfully, like he kind of sobers up quickly. And this is where Sydney says, I'd go over this moment. Layla goes ahead and takes a swig of the vodka. And of course, as we know, Sydney is like not looking forward to this night because all of her friends are now leaving, which means she's about to be alone with Ames. So what does she do? She's like, yeah, sure. Like Layla's like, here. And she's like, yeah, fuck it. I'll take a swig of this vodka. So she takes a tiny swig of vodka, which again, can't imagine, straight.
Gross.
And then says, I'd go over this moment again and again in the coming weeks. It was just such a stupid thing, a handful of seconds, and yet it was a pivotal point, the shift between before and after. I don't know why I took the bottle, tipping it up to my mouth. Maybe it was the long night, or what still might lie ahead with Ames. That's 100% why you did it, yes. Whatever the reason I did, taking one big gulp and closing my eyes tight as I swallowed. When I opened them, my mother was in the doorway. Ugh, no. Like Ames, she just appeared. As I looked at her face, everything crystallized. And yeah, she basically loses her mind. She immediately is like, Sydney, what's going on here? And Sydney tries to explain, like, it's not like what it looks like. They just needed the studio to record a demo. And she's like, you're drinking. And she's like, I wasn't actually, I just took that sip just now, which is true. She literally had not had a single sip the rest of the night. Her mom comes in at like the worst time. And yep. She's like, you're drinking. Who are these people in Peyton's studio? Fuck you, may I just say for that. And she's like, this is where Layla steps in. And again, like Layla and Mac kind of try to smooth things over here. Layla's like, it's my brother. Like you met him. It's his band. It's like, hi. You're like, you remember me. And so Sydney's like, remember they needed to record a demo. And she's like, I told you about that. And her mom's like, and I said, no, you deliberately disobeyed me, Sydney. And you have alcohol here in our house, not to mention people I do not know, which like, Jesus. Mm. And so she tells her to stop because again, Sydney tries to defend herself. And she's like, I don't want to hear it. It's been a long, bad night. You're just mad because Peyton yelled at you because he didn't want you to basically throw a whole graduation party for something that he doesn't feel like celebrating. Yep. And she's like, get these people out of here now. So, Layla just tries to like, kind of, she sees, obviously mom's really mad. Everyone tries to like get out, out or whatever. Eric with his bad back is like, we're moving as fast as we can. This is heavy equipment. The mom yells, go faster. She snaps. Hearing this, they all stopped what they were doing and looked at us, finally seeing my mom. Mac's eyes went wide. It was strange to see him surprised. The next thing I knew, he was heading our way. And he is like such a sweetheart and really tries to like smooth things over. that unfortunately doesn't work. But he's like, you know, Mrs. Stanford, this isn't, Cindy was just doing me a favor. I shouldn't have put her in that position. It's my fault. Totally. I'm sorry. And, you know, like, obviously Cindy's like, you know, grateful that he's like trying, but she knows like it's not going to work. And she's like, you know, you don't have to say that. And he's like, I want to. And the mom's like, I'm sorry, but who are you? Which is the most, like, she is a rich white lady. Like, little riffraff, who are you? You have met him, but because you deem him beneath you, you're going to act like, who are you? Ugh. So he's like, I'm Mac. I'm Layla's brother. Cindy goes, Mac. So this is where Ames chimes in. It is like a boyfriend, either that or just the guy she makes out with in parking lots. What? Excuse me, sir. Like, so of course her mom is like, what? And she turns slowly. Layla, of course, has now found out in the worst way, which again is why I should never keep secrets like this. Ladies and gentlemen, just tell people. So Ames is like, I saw them. I wasn't going to tell you, figured Sydney would, but I guess now you know. Now, your plan was always to, like, use this.
Yeah.
Like, don't be like, oh, I figured you already knew. Like, no, for real. She's like, now I know. And she's like, is that your alcohol to Mac? Like, why would you immediately just assume that it's his? Like, was he anywhere near it when you came in? No. So he's like, no, it's not. And she's like, I want these people out of here. Do you understand me? So again, Mac tries to, like, smooth things over, and she's like, do not talk to me, just get out of my house and take your friends with you now. Okay. So he, you know, keeps basically Cindy's hand longer, then he unfolds his fingers and, you know, kind of admits defeat, and they kind of pack up and go. She says that, you know, when they'd come in, it had been all like joking. Now there's no discussion of his, all the back and forth of the people trying to get something together. She's like, I packed up, no one spoke. I knew because I was listening as I stare into my mom's eyes till focus on mine. After so long in my own invisible place, I was squarely in her sights, just not the way I'd wanted to be. She says that Lila, like, just brushes by her, doesn't even, like, pay her any mind, basically. Like, clearly she is pissed. And then, you know, they all leave, and she's like, only then did my mom look away from me, her eyes following him. But I couldn't bring myself to do the same. I was not punished yet, had no idea what would happen next. But already, all that space left in my heart, open after being clenched tight for so long, was narrowing. When the door shut behind them, I felt it close. This mother is really gonna treat sweet little Mac. He is a bad guy. Like, he's a little delinquent. When her actual son paralyzed someone in a drunk driving accident, and she lets a creeper McCreeperston, like, pervert in her house and treats him like he's a stand-up guy. But Mac, she's going to be like, do not talk to me. I don't know you. But, like, this woman.
It's definitely a class thing, first of all. It's definitely a class thing. Also, like, Ames coming in so fast, being like, it's her boyfriend. I saw them making out. Yes. Like, he's so mad that she has a boyfriend. He's so mad. And he, can you imagine what would have happened if nobody was there when he showed up? It was just her.
Like, it gives me the heebie-jeebies for thinking about it.
The chills. Yeah. And additionally, mom,
shoulders. Ugh.
Can't you tell that these kids aren't drunk, aren't drinking?
Like, they're one all drunk. Yeah. They're like, all chill.
Why?
Eric would never. He takes his music too seriously.
Eric would never. And it's like, why don't you just ask, like, why don't you take a minute, stop being mad at Peyton, or, like, don't take your anger with Peyton out on Sydney. Listen to her. Look at the situation. Use, like, some sort of logic. And I did start the next chapter because I was like, I can't. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, this wasn't going to happen. But I'm like, you know, maybe if she, like, slept and then, like, woke up the next morning and was like, oh, my God, I totally overreacted. Like, please tell me what was actually going on.
Right.
But that doesn't happen.
No, of course.
Spoiler alert. So
she doesn't seem the type. Like, I understand. Like, okay, let me put myself in her shoes.
Yeah.
You're in a bad mood. you come in and you see this. Like, I understand technically, yes, Sydney went against your wishes, which at first you were all like, of course, when you were in a good mood with Peyton, of course they can come over and your friends can use the studio. Everything was hunky-dory. And then rightfully so, Sydney gave pushback when you were like, no, I can't even possibly think about them coming over now, blah, 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 because Peyton at the graduation. It's like, first of all, it's not a graduation. So I understand it looks bad. And the fact that you come in and your daughter is drinking, and obviously that is a touchy subject for you because your son had a drinking and a drug problem and it landed him where it landed him. And with his drinking, a really, really bad thing happened. So I get that you would go in and be like, what the F? But yes, in the heat of the moment, it's the heat of the moment. But when you have all of these kids, like you said, who clearly do not appear drunk, except for one of them, and they're all, like, you have met Layla and you have met Mac before and you've met at least, you know, the dad and whatever. Like, why wouldn't you, and your daughter has never done anything wrong in her life, give her the benefit of the doubt? Because it's so annoying that her son, she has given 18,000 chances and Sydney slips up slightly, which I don't even really consider this a slip up. And she, like, just doesn't give her the time of day to explain it. And it's like, yep, I can understand you being like, this doesn't look good when you come in. But, like, do you not trust your own daughter to have her explain it to you? That part, I just cannot fathom. And, of course, she can't, because what she's really mad at about now is Peyton and him sending her away from this stupid graduation. And poor Sydney gets it taken out on her. And it just makes me mad and sad. And also, though, I was, like, so relieved that her parents were back and, like, she wasn't going to be stuck in the house with Ames that night. I was like, this is, like, it's just shitty either way. Like, one way her mom is, like, doing what she's doing to her. But if the alternative was she was going to be stuck in the house with Ames, and I'd rather her not be stuck in the house with Ames, I guess. Like, I don't know. It's just
When it was, like, clear that something bad was about to happen, I was, like, terrified that it was going to be something bad with Ames. Like, he was going to assault her or something. I was like, are we going to have another assault? I was like, what's happening?
I'm like, I can't. I'm not prepared. I'm not emotionally prepared for this, Sarah. Like, this is definitely – but, yeah, I just can't – I don't know. Like, if you have children and you feel like you've done a good job raising them, like, it's a two-way street, especially when they get to a certain age. Like, I know you're the adult and you have to parent them or whatever, but, like – I can't imagine actively wanting children and then not ever trusting them or hearing them out or seeing their side of things. Like, I don't know. I say all the time, don't have kids if you don't want kids. And I feel like so many people, and again, I understand this is a fictional character, but the point being, like, so many people are like, oh, I want children. And it's like, no, you don't. You want a subordinate. Like, you want someone who's just going to, like, be a little carbon copy, picture perfect version of you. Like, if you want kids, you want them in however they come. And you want to treat them as and respect them as an actual human person with, you know, their own autonomy. And this mom does not do that for either of her children. Because, again, as we've recently learned, like, even Peyton, she doesn't actually listen to anything that he says or wants. And I don't know. Don't have kids if you don't want kids. Just
don't have kids if you don't want kids.
If you don't want kids. Don't, it's that simple.
But that wraps up two harrowing chapters, so we're leaving you in a rough spot, but we'll be back at some point next week. I'm not going to promise any days, because we'll see, okay?
We'll see.
Shit.
Snowmageddon.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Things are bad out here. So take care of yourselves. We will take care of ourselves, hopefully. Yes. You know, find little moments in the day to turn off your phone and just, like, read a book or something. And yeah, good luck.
Yes,
to all of us.
Exactly. Yeah. May the force be with all of us right now, for sure. Keep on keeping on. Take care of yourselves. Bye. Stay warm out there.